Welcome to Wise Words with Dan, filled with inspiration, guidance, stories, and helping raise awareness so that you listeners can take away something from this podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you for listening to Wise Words with Dan. Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of Wise Words with Dan. Hope you guys are having a good week so far. This is a midweek podcast. I don't usually do it, but I'm trying to add in more variety of different elements to my podcast. So this week, today's podcast, I do have George and Chester, which are two mates of mine. We talk about football. Episode today is just about football, but we do talk a little bit about what's going on up in Queensland with the floods, and we also do talk about international football with the sanctions that FIFA have imposed on Russia. So yeah, we talk a bit about everything that's going on. So guys, you'll enjoy this one today, especially if you're a football fan. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Welcome back to the show.
No worries. Is Chester coming on, or is it just me and you?
Oh, Chester's coming on. I sent him a link.
Nice.
Yeah, he should be on any minute now. What's been going on with you? How's your week been?
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, it's Wednesday night. I'm surviving the rain and all that, so...
God, man. You know, they're saying within the next 48 hours, the amount of rain we're going to get here in Sydney... it's like 2 months worth of rain, usually.
Yeah, but it's just crazy. See what happens.
But God, we've got to think about Queensland and they're going through the floods at the moment.
Yeah, well, at the moment, I'm thinking about the derby on Saturday.
What up,
George? Chester. How are you? I called you George Chester. I'm sorry.
Yes. How are both of you?
We're fine. Fuck, we're keeping ourselves dry.
Are you in Queensland, Chester?
Huh?
Are you in Queensland?
Yeah, I went back up there.
Oh, shit. Are you in the flood zone?
No. We're kind of basically sandwiched in between, like, where the worst hit areas were, like, north parts of the Sunshine Coast and, like, even further up at Gympie were hit pretty badly. And then, obviously, all the areas around Brisbane were hit badly. So where we are, we basically kind of, especially in the direct suburb we are, like, we got really lucky. I mean, it's fortunate because the only body of water near us is not connected to fresh water. So it's never going to flood if it's got no tide, essentially. Yeah. It's low lying, but because there's no, like, fresh water body of water in this area, then it's not going to flood to the extent that, like, it has in other places. So, yeah, we're fortunate in that regard. But I'll tell you what, the amount of rain that was, like, we still got a lot of rain. Like, the pool in Jay's parents' overflowing, and like I've never seen that happen before. So like, as an Englishman, seeing that amount of rain bucket down over a couple of days was pleasing, to say the very least.
You feel like you're back at home in England.
Pretty much except it was like 28 plus degrees outside and not like less than 5. But
look, it's bucketing down here in Sydney.
You're getting it now. It's just kind of slowly like moving its way, working its way down the coast.
I know. I feel like we're going to go through these floods next. I tell you what.
I don't think where you are, Dan, Ermington, I don't think you're going to flood. It's too hilly around there. You don't really have a river near you that's big per se, do you? George, on the other hand.
No, not really.
Yeah, I'm causing all the grief. George's river.
and it's really flat in that area as well.
Well, like, I'm all right, because where I am, like, it's not too bad. It's just more like the Liverpool area, Milperra, Warwick Farm, Lanesvale. They're the ones that are copying it the worst at the moment. So apparently they've got one in the morning.
But that's the thing. If those areas around you flood, you have no way of leaving your suburb.
Oh, that's all right. I don't care.
Work.
Well, I tell them I can't go to work because of the flood, so it doesn't bother me.
Can I tell you what a crazy time we're living in? We're in the middle of the flood zone, COVID's still about, there's a war in the Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine.
All right, let's not get involved in the wars, all right?
No, we won't talk about that too much. But
yeah, I was going to say, like,
let's just stick to the up-and-coming derby pending if it goes ahead.
Does it feel like the world is ending? That's my question.
What?
Does it feel like the world is ending?
Mate, if the world was ending, we'd definitely know about it. I feel like, you know, there would be a lot more anarchy out there than what it is now. But it's a fact of life. You know, you go through droughts, you go through floods, but that's the circle of life pretty much.
But a combination between COVID, floods, and the war, I mean, shit, man, all in one hit. I mean, COVID is starting to be in a rearview mirror, so to speak.
No, it's been in my rearview mirror for about 3 months now, so I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, and I've gone through COVID now, but I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Restrictions have, you know, eased tremendously now, so I think...
Keep it that way, just like Boris Johnson.
And, yeah, on top of that, Morrison got COVID as well now, so...
Yeah, I know. Oh, well.
But anyway, guys, yeah, in this frenetic time that we're living in, yeah, so the derby this Saturday. Mm-hmm. What's this, George, about with the... is the RBB still planning on boycotting the derby on Saturday?
No. So basically now we're trying to buy up as much $10 tickets as we can. We were going to boycott because obviously with the whole... John Satsimus, you know, to resign and leave the club. We got our wish. So finally, Paul Lederer listened to the people. The wise people of Western Sydney have gone, no, you know, this is not an image that we want to keep on going. And reluctantly, as I think I've been hearing, is that he made the reluctant choice, but to, you know, let him go and there'll be no boycott on Derby Day. So it's a positive move for the club, one that we've been asking for the last like two or three seasons now. So look, at the end of the day, if they can get someone locally in Australia or internationally as a CEO that understands what we are as a football club and where we want to be, like how we were in our first sort of three seasons or so, that's what we want. But also we want a CEO that's going to give, I guess, a point of difference and fresh eyes that we probably haven't had in the last, you know, six or seven seasons. So, all up, it's all positive in terms of step forward with Western Sydney.
Do you feel like Wanderers can still turn their season around?
I feel like it's too little too late because that loss against Newcastle was absolutely bullshit. Like, yeah. How can you be 1-on-1 with a goalkeeper and you miss that? You should be scoring any day of the week. Even Sunday Lee could score that. And that is...
Oh, no, have you seen Trent Brewer in front of goal? He's pretty dismal.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, all right, compared to me, you've said to us is that your squad is a lot more potent when you've got those kind of players up front, whether it be himself or even Bobo or even Ninkovic to a point. But then... I look at our game against Newcastle and it's like we should have won that game 2-0. Easy. There was at least three or four chances where we should have won it. But at the end of the day, we just didn't take our chance. And the credit to the fans and some of the RBTV boys that actually went up to Newcastle, I was like, first of all, why would you go midweek? Second of all, you're wasting your petrol money going up there. But they still went out and supported the boys. Even some of the players went over, they didn't even acknowledge the boys even being there only for Ziggy Gordon to come over and apologise once again and say, oh, we're sorry for the performance. But the rest of the boys just went into the change rooms and didn't even acknowledge them. So it's like, well, you know, I still think Mark Roonan is the right man to a point, but I don't see him being there beyond this season, and it is a disappointment because I really was pushing for Mark Roonan to be the new coach once Popovich had left. You know, people gave me shit for it, but I think Mark Roonan's a decent coach. I think it's just more that it's basically his pre-season at the moment because you know, he's coming to a team that had no direction, no sense of play. And it was just like, okay, well, what are you going to do? So, yeah, like, all right, we beat Melbourne Victory, but, like, you got to back that up and beat Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I look at Sydney FC to a point now, like, Sydney FC haven't won a game in, what, six games?
Four games.
So, I mean, it's to be honest with you, it's probably, I reckon, the best sort of derby at the moment in terms of where both teams are, because, yeah, like, I feel like Steve Corriger's not the same person last year, but, yeah.
I'd say pressure's arguably more on us due to the fact that, despite the fact we have obviously gone four without a win and lost our last two, I mean, Dan, you'll agree with me, like, we haven't been playing bad at all. We've actually played some amazing football in all four of those games. Is really on us in this derby now, because we've been playing good football, we just haven't been getting wins. So the pressure is really going to be on us to put in another good performance and actually get the 3 points this time. Because it's so long you can go as a football team putting in good performances and not getting results until the performances eventually drop off. So I think if we put another good performance in but don't win, it's just going to get more and more pressure on this team. So they need to play well and they need to win the game. This is, like, really important. I say it's obviously important for you to win as well, because it's a derby, and in general, you need to win as well. But I think just off the fact that we've been playing well but not winning, that's how important it is for us to actually win this one and to at least try and keep ourselves remotely in touch with those top two teams, because there's still plenty of games left to play. And you know what the A-League's like. Some teams can just suddenly drop off out of nowhere and gaps can open up for teams to chase them. I mean, yeah. We've got to pick up as many points in these games, because obviously we're so far ahead of some of the a lot of the chasing pack behind us in terms of games played. I think pretty much if you look at the table right now in terms of a point basis, we should be last, because we've played 15 games and we have 18 points. All the teams behind us are either on level points with us or have down to 11 points, have all played fewer games than us to this point. So effectively, you could call us bottom of the table, judging off points per game. So we really need to start winning and consistently. And, you know, with Narsing around now, I'm hoping our attack's going to have a little more of a boost, because I love Alfie and I love Babo, but let's face it, Alfie clearly looks like his age is catching up with him. I mean, Babo scored four goals this season, to be fair, but yeah. I think we need, I mean, I guess Narsing's 31 as well, but he's younger and, like, fresh legs, and yeah. I think at the end of this season, our team really needs to start getting some younger players in around this squad, but not younger as in teenagers or kids, like younger as in mid to late 20s with that experience, rather than 35 plus with experience and then like teenagers, like, or young early 20s. We need to balance the squad out a bit more. So, you know, but as I said, first and foremost, we need to win the derby, and then we need to go on a Sydney FC run of good 5-6. Wins in a row, to be honest, because we're capable of doing it. We've been playing well enough to do it. We just got to get over the line in these games now.
Well, what's preventing us from getting over the line? Like, you say we are putting in good performances week after week. What do we need to do to get that edge factor to, like,
I think we just need to be a little more, I just say it sounds, we really just need to be more clinical at times. Too much when we have the ball, times when we have the ball with chances, you know, on the edge of the box to maybe catch the keeper out of a shot or play a more decisive pass, we just tend to kind of be a lot. I know, like, we've been doing this for years under Corriger, and generally it's worked, right? You know, this kind of passing through the lines. But I think, you know, I've seen more and more so this season that teams in the A-League are starting to understand how to block low in games. And I think our passing through the lines is starting to look less effective. And obviously with the age of our players as well, they don't have the movement they had a couple of seasons ago. I think we need to start being a little more clinical, trying to take a little more, not risk per se, but like a little more smarter decisions to, if someone had received the ball on the edge of the box, instead of taking four touches and playing a pass, take a touch and try and fire a shot away if there's an option there. as opposed to four touches and trying to play a pass out wide. And yeah, like, I think we just need to have a little more of that clinical cutting edge at times in games. As I said, I think, like, when you're playing well, like against Melbourne City, we'll be honest, like, we dominated the entire fucking game. Because they got the luckiest, like, not luckiest, but they got a win, which shouldn't have been a win, really. Like, maybe a draw was a fair result, but definitely not a win to them. We dominated the whole game. And at 1-1, a team like Melbourne City can just punish you with one moment, and that's exactly what happened. They got the ball, moved it forward. Lecky had a shot from the edge of the box, like I'm saying we should do more often, and you know, it went in the end, didn't it? So
yeah,
we just need to do more of that, I think, at certain moments in games. I'm not saying every time we should go forward, we should just shoot without even thinking. I'm just saying at certain times, if the pressure's on and we haven't scored a goal and it's getting late into a game, if there's a chance for a shot, which isn't going to be a wild shot, which isn't going to lead to anything, just take it on because you never know what will happen.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's it. Taking more, just taking a bit of risk more, like, you know, taking more shots.
But not like, yeah, but calculated risk, not like wildly stupid, like pointless risk.
Yeah, that's it.
You mean Bernie and Bean style.
We're not talking about that right now.
Okay, switching over a little bit now to the EPL. To the European football. We saw Liverpool win the... beat Chelsea in the...
I didn't. I don't want to watch a fucking Liverpool-Chelsea game, but yeah, go on.
Well, George, did you watch the game?
No, I didn't even know it was on.
Okay.
To go to penalties against Liverpool, like, that's, like, you know, it is a fair kind of result to a point because it's obviously a final and all that, but, you know, good old Kepa. You know, just he gives us moments and then he just basically like goes, well, like, screw you, Abramovich, and then goes, well, like, stuff you kind of thing. But I don't know, it's hard to be a Chelsea fan at the moment, but I mean, we are Club World Cup champions, so I mean, I'd rather win that than win some dumb League Cup that's sponsored by Carabao.
Liverpool fans have a hard on for that fucking trophy. It's the most pointless fucking trophy next to the community.
I know. And like the way that the fans have been reacting, like, oh, like, we're back, whatever. But
they just won the English League.
They go hard for community shields as well. Liverpool fans are pathetic. Like, they've actually won the Premier League recently. I think they've forgotten that because they're still celebrating community shields and league. The greatest achievements in all of football. Like,
I mean, I know this is kind of biased because me and you, Chester, are Man United fans and we do hate Liverpool with the passion.
Everyone hates Liverpool with the passion.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can all agree on that. So it's not just you guys or whatever, but like the banter between Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher is the greatest thing you'll ever see.
I want to take you back for a minute, Gary. I want to take you back because Liverpool are so fucking good at the moment. I don't care if we win the Champions League or the FA Cup or the Premier League. At the end of the day, a fucking trophy is a fucking trophy. You can talk about winning the Premier League and all of that or the World Cup, but at the end of the day, isn't the Community Shield just as fucking important, Gary?
But I don't know if you saw Daniel and Chester, like, you know, they got the Old Firm derby coming to Sydney at the end of in November.
Oh.
It's the Sydney Super Cup, right? Can I just talk about this quickly? In my honest opinion, first of all, I think it's only happening because Ange Postecoglou now manages Celtic. Let's face it. The Scottish managers, the fucking way they get them down there. And I think it's pathetic because they could have literally just invited Celtic down to play a few pre-season friendlies against a couple of random A-League clubs, right? But they could have done it that way. Instead, they felt the need to over-advertise with this thing called the Sydney Super Cup or whatever. When, let's be honest, at the end of the day, none of the two Sydney teams are going to be in that fucking final.
Oh, you never know.
I'm sorry. Sydney FC and Wanderers are going to be second best quite distinctly in that competition. Like,
but okay, But in terms, because that's going to be during their season, obviously, in Scotland at that time. So will they be playing for points, or is this just an invitational tournament?
I don't think Ange Postecoglou is going to come down here for a holiday and just have a really bring a shit team or underperform and just get battered. I think he's going to come down just to win. Like,
I want to see these Japanese superstars that he's brought over from, like, the J-League, from Yokohama and...
Fucking rape us, let me tell you that. They always do in the Asian Champions League, don't they? Like, but be honest, right, the way you're playing right now in the A-League, can you see your Wanderers team getting anything against Celtic or Rangers?
Like, I mean, we almost beat Leeds.
Yeah, but that's Leeds. They're as open as... You're good with those one-liners, but you know what I'm getting at.
No, I get where you're coming from. Like, when you look at the A-League standard and then you're going to bring teams like that, I mean, obviously the Scottish League isn't the strongest league, but having those two caliber teams that have won or have played in Europe, played, you know, have got like some of the not best players, but they're decent.
So, like, the Scottish game is obviously known to be a very physical game, not like, but it's up there, right? It's like the way Wanderers are defending set pieces recently, this season, especially last season, they're not going to stand a chance coming up against these 6 foot plus Scottish centre backs. Like,
it's basically embarrassing, and that's what hopefully with this new CEO, whoever does come in to our club. Obviously sees and identifies all these issues, and it's not going to be an overnight fix, but it can be something that can be done over a 3 to 4 year period. So,
who's the new CEO that's coming into the Wanderers?
They'll announce it at the end of the A-League season.
Who do you suspect will?
I'll be honest with you, I don't have a clue.
Trent Foster.
Someone made mention of that and was like, nah. A lot of people, me including, would say Mark Bosnich, but you need to have someone there that has a good business background too. You can't just go, oh, always a football lover. But I would definitely bring in Mark Bosnich to identify what the issues are at the club and say, you need this to get to this outcome. So he basically comes in as a consultant to go, okay, these are the issues, this is how you fix it, and that's it. I would have him in that kind of role, but CEO-wise, probably not. I'll be honest with you, I'll probably go with someone from the MLS over in America that has gone through an expansion club.
Donald Trump.
Why not? I love Donald Trump. I want him 2024.
No, I said earlier, I was like, Gladys, you want Gladys to be your new CEO?
Gladys.
Why not? Well, she's the CEO of Optus now.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes.
That was the last role I ever thought Gladys would be in, honestly. From being Premier to New South Wales to...
Oh, you're talking about Optus. I thought you were talking about her being Premier. That's all.
No, I mean, from Premier to... being the leader. What's her title in Optus?
She's the CEO.
CEO of Optus, like,
yes. What
a transition.
And you know what's so funny? She's going to get more money working for Optus than she was at Premier, being a Premier.
Oh, great. More money for her to corruptly use.
Yeah, but the good thing is, I'm not with Optus, I'm with Telstra.
With Telstra. He's with Optus and Gladys Berejiklian has announced as a new CEO. George is like, all right, time to switch to Telstra, Mum.
No, we've been with Telstra for years.
Oh, yeah.
So that means you're not going to switch to Optus now?
I've got Optus Sport. That's enough.
You got Optus Sport. That's enough. Yeah.
Maybe she'll be the new, maybe she'll become the new CEO of the A-League.
Oh, no, I wouldn't mind that, to be honest with you. Well, she's got a good business background.
That's true.
Okay, guys, I want to ask you about the, with now we're talking about international football, teams not wanting to play Russia, obviously with what's going on.
They've been banned.
They've been banned. Like,
yeah, so UEFA and FIFA have banned them from all like international competitions.
I don't know for how long, but at least for the next World Cup.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing therefore the Nations League as well.
Correct. So any form of international means, whether it be friendly.
I'm pretty sure that means Poland are now qualified for the World Cup because they were meant to play them in their qualifier, their playoff qualifier. So now that Russia are no longer there, I'm pretty sure Poland are now automatically qualified.
Yeah.
Scotland and Ukraine is the other one, and they're still waiting to hear whether Ukraine can participate or not. So again, if Ukraine get banned as well, then Scotland automatically get
banned. Well, I don't think Ukraine should get banned because I feel like they've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, no, exactly. They shouldn't.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously we don't want to be too political and all of that, but, like, at the end of the day, if Ukraine are allowed to compete in all football, like, I'll support them. Like, the amount of support that I've seen from other Ukrainian players, like, both in the Premier League and most recently, a Ukrainian player in for Benfica. He came off the bench and the both the home and away fans standing ovation got given the captaincy, just basically broke down on the field, and he just it was just like amazing to see how much love and support everyone's giving any kind of person that is affiliated with that country, because you know, obviously me being of Greek heritage, like I know what my grandparents went through and all that to, I guess, live a better life and the stuff that they went through. So,
once again proves how powerful football can be in terms of moving nations.
Well, it's not just football, but other sports too. Yeah. So it's not just there, but like, yeah.
It's amazing how football can, you know, bring people together, like you said. So any team now in that group that was meant to play Russia, so they automatically get a win, do they?
It's just Poland. Poland had to play them in that like playoff qualifier to get to the World
Cup. Yeah, so Poland will take that spot in like World Cup and obviously any Euros or anything like that.
Well, it'll be Nations League is the next
one. Nations League, sorry, yeah.
So I'm guessing they could do it two ways because there's four teams in every group. They could either just do a three-team group, like, and not replace Russia at all. And just
no, just put Greece in there. Be decent.
Or promote someone. But this is the thing. If they promote someone from the league down, they'd have to then just keep moving it. I think it's probably just safer them, just easier than just with a three-team group. Rather than bringing one up and then having to replace them, and then it just keeps
a slight
ripple effect.
It's like a logistical nightmare that I don't want to do. Yeah.
So was the Champions League final also meant to be played in Russia too?
St. Petersburg.
It's moved to the Stade de France.
So now
it's moved now they've moved to France.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, geez, I tell you what.
No, they moved it to Sydney.
Huh?
They moved it to Sydney. What are you on about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who was it? You know, Mika Richards? He goes, why don't they move the Champions League final to America?
Tom, fucking
America. Come on.
Like, come on. It's like it's like saying, like, you know, that's so stupid because, I mean, look, I'm not going to make a comment about it now, but, like, essentially that just makes no sense because, look at Australia. We're in the freaking Eurovision and we're not even Europe. We're not even Europe.
I still don't understand how that.
So it doesn't make sense putting a Champions League final in.
They had a bid to be in the America. First of all, why would they want to? They get shat on by pretty much every team in there.
It was like, but it was Australia. It was
geographically made sense. Huh?
And we couldn't even go because of COVID.
Yeah.
So that was another embarrassing loss for Graham Battle. Okay, I've got a thing for you. If Socceroos do not qualify for the World Cup, which I hope they don't, Graham Battle gets a sack, Marcelo Bielsa takes over.
Who takes over?
Bielsa.
I think
that's a fun.
I don't think it's going to work, though. Because, you like, his tactics didn't work with Leeds because their defence was so shit. Just like Australia's defence is not that great. Like,
but for entertainment value, it's good having an interpreter next to him.
No, the BL's the one. If he does manage Australia, they'll turn the Bielsa bucket into a fucking KFC bucket.
Do you think?
You know, like the bucket hats they wear at the cricket, but like, yes, for the bucket that he sits on.
Do you think Arnold will go? Will be sacked? If
Australia he has to go. I think he shouldn't have been coached anyway for starters.
Yeah, he should have stayed with Sydney. I 100%
agree. I know.
Like he,
not discrediting Orica because he's done a fucking brilliant job with us, but still.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like for me, in terms of his international pedigree, this is now damaged Graham Arnold moving forward now. Because that next game against Japan is a must-win game for the Socceroos. Now, I want to go to the game. I'm going to be supporting Japan. There is no way I'm supporting this upper route.
What's your agenda against Australia, George? I just need to
ask. First of all, Australian football sucks right now.
Yeah.
There is nothing happening with the international team. There is no development from the A-League players going internationally. So there is no direct good pathway of like, well, they're decent enough or quality enough to go and play in Europe or play with decent teams. Look at freaking Jamie McLaren. Leaves Australia, goes overseas for like, what, 2-3 years and goes, I suck here, so I'm going to go back to Australia. So there is no promise. There is no... the thing with Australian football, the players that are playing internationally for Australia, like overseas-wise, they're not playing for good quality teams and they're not playing against good quality opposition. That's the problem. And also, they're just happy at where they are. Like, look at Apostolos Yannou. Like, he could have been something, but now he's in MacArthur.
Mm.
Like, why? He should have been in Europe somewhere apart from Greece. Why is he in Australia? Like, look at that Meredith. Like, Bosnich was saying, oh, he's one of the best backs in Australia. But, okay, if he's one of the best backs in Australia, why isn't he playing in England or in Europe for a decent team? The only decent player that we have is our goalkeeper, Matt Ryan, playing La Liga.
Ryan Grant,
Ryan Grant's useless. He's useless. He's done nothing. If he's so good at what he does, why didn't he get an opportunity to go overseas?
Because he's too loyal to Sydney, that's why.
But that's the problem with Australian players is that, all right, you're playing the A-League, all right, use that as a stepping stone to go overseas, whether it be in Asia or whether in Europe, and build on that. Don't go and be stuck at the team that you play for and get better, improve your skills, like, develop more, all right?
Like, listening to this, I genuinely reckon Daniel Arzani in a few seasons will be back in the A-League with the fucking Jets.
Correct. Because of his injuries, and Paul Black has been through so many injuries, it is not funny. You look at Moussa Famini. He was playing with Borussia Dortmund at one point in time.
To be fair, he's still pretty damn good. Like,
he's good quality, but it's just the injuries took a toll on him and not playing in decent. Like, half the Aussies that I know play in freaking Denmark. Now, why go figure? Because it's probably the most easiest league in Europe you could play in. So it's like, well, I don't care. The problem with Australian players is that they're happy to go to Europe to get double what they were getting in the A-League, and they're happy. That's it.
The point of that, right? For the most part, especially in the last decade or so, because obviously before when you had players like Kjell, Viduka, Emerton, Bresciano, Cahill, like all of that lot, Scott Chipperfield, and all of those played in Europe.
But yes,
played for Australia, they were good, and that's why Australia were good. You've in recent times obviously played players who played in Europe, like Lecky when he did play in like Mabil, and I don't know how well he's been playing for like Australia, but like there's players who played in Europe who played for Australia recently, but I haven't seen but they've just looked so under par. Like, they're playing in Europe, and they're meant to be representing the country as the senior, like, European experience. But when Moy is the big one, he was at Huddersfield and Brighton after that. Every time he played for Australia, he looked awful. Like, he looked so bad. Like, he couldn't be fucked sometimes. Like, this is what I mean. This is what I think another problem is with your team. Like, even when you have players who play in Europe or overseas in bigger leagues than the A League, when they play for Australia, genuinely, they don't play with the pedigree they should.
Correct. Because I think it could be a different thing. So I think my main grunt is probably that Graham Arnold doesn't probably put that emphasis on it, and he just goes, oh, I'm just going to pick players based off, like, if they're playing a lot of games. Cool. That's fine. But what are you doing to make them want to play for the jersey? What are you trying to do to make them play for the country? Like, can you imagine if those Australian players were playing in South America for Brazil or Argentina or Peru or Colombia, and they played the way that they've been playing now, they wouldn't even make it out alive of the stadium.
This is the problem England had before under Hodgson. Circling players who play for bigger clubs.
Correct.
There's opportunities. There's so many players in the A-League who are at least good enough to play for Australia and do at least the same job that the current bunch of players are doing for the country anyway, right? Caceres would be a perfect option for Australia. He's been so good this season for Sydney. Good last season as well. I don't want him gone because that means we lose another player at international for international duty. But for the sake of, like, your country and getting better players in, there's A-League players all over this fucking league who were good enough to play for the country right now. It's like the media and all of that think Australia are like this world superpower in football and shouldn't be playing more than 3 or 4 A-League players in any match day squad. Like, no, they're too bad for us. Like, they seriously need to wake up. But the country, Australia's football team right now is on par with the A-League team. It genuinely is. I can, if you put Australia's team up against an A-League 11 of the current bunch of players who don't represent Australia, the 11 A-League players would probably win that game.
Like, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
I 100% agree, and this is where it comes down to when Australia qualified for the 06 World Cup in Germany, right? When Gusenink wrote a letter to the FA at the time and said, "Look, now you need to start planning for the next group coming through, not just for the local, like the A League or whatever, but for also the international team," and they were like, "Oh no, it's all right. We'll just figure it out on the way." This is basically now culminating in, like, 20-plus years, almost 20 years of, like, inaction by the FA for not putting in the steps to develop these younger kids coming through those ranks is because you got, like, look at that Volpi kid playing for Roma, right? He was a senior FC Wanderers youth player. Both of them were, like, not good enough. The guy that I know who runs that academy basically picked him up, took him overseas to Italy. Now look at him. Yeah. He's playing under Jose Maria. Maria loves him.
Yeah.
This is the problem with Australian football. Like, you got these academy players or academy teams or teams in these, like, in Victoria Premier League or New South Wales Prem, is that there's too much politics, too much bullshit that gets involved. And there's no genuine development for that group of young kids coming through to say, okay, if you want to be a Socceroo or play for your national club, you need to play with the teams like a Liverpool or like a Nip, you know, as an example.
Maybe not that, like, level, but I get what you're saying.
Like, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you look at, like, as you mentioned, like Mark Viduka, you look at Kiel, you look at those guys were playing Champions League football. They were playing against the top players around the world. So when they played for Australia, they were like, okay, they mirror imaged it. So it wasn't like, okay, well, cool, we're just here playing for Australia, we're on a holiday, you know, we get to travel. Cool. That's the mentality that I see it. And, like, for me, a prime example is Jamie McLaren. Goes and plays in Scotland for, like, one season and can't cut it because he's shit. Comes to Australia, he kills it because he's too good for the club. he's too good for the A League. But when he goes overseas, like, look at, like, even Adam Taggart. Adam Taggart could have been a striker that could have been a better striker for Australia. Yeah, he kills it over in Japan or Korea where he's playing now. It's like when he comes to Australia, he's just shit.
The problem is, too young. Jamie McLaren was too young when he initially went to Scotland. Had he stayed in the A League until like a he's a bit old now, but he stayed into the A League until he was at least 26, 25, then gone to Scotland with that experience, it would have been different.
Let me counter-argue that.
Kwame Yeboah, I've got a really good example here. Kwame Yeboah pissed George right off. When he first broke onto the A-League scene with Brisbane, those few like games he started playing with them, when he scored that goal against Wanderers and all that, Mariners as well, like he looked like a really good prospect. But then in some bizarre reason, they decided, oh, he's played 5 or 6 A-League games. Fucking send him to Europe. He's already ready for it. And then he never gets any
games in
Europe, comes to Wanderers and looks so bad. Like, he looked...
Yeah, I know.
Like, he was so bad. Like...
Yeah, I agree.
And now he's retired, right?
Yeah, like, he's basically doing... He's doing modelling, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Modelling.
Yeah. But I kind of wrap that argument to a point as well. Like, how old was Kuehl and Cahill when they moved to England?
They didn't even play in the NFL at all.
Correct. So they never played in Australia. They straight away left to go to England and play in those lower leagues to get noticed. Right? But the difference between Yeboah and Kuehl and Cahill is that Kuehl and Cahill had something special in them that you just needed to nurture them. Whereas you look at it now, like you look at these younger kids coming through, even like as an example, Cam Serber, right? You got him from Melbourne Victory. Problem is, if he starts.
Australian, but yeah.
Oh, whatever. I'm just as an example, right?
Yeah.
The media then says, oh, Cam Serber's like freaking awesome. He's whatever. He'll then go to, say, England or Europe or any other country. He'll try and crack it for 2 seasons, do shit, and then go, oh, well, I'll come back to Australia because I was okay with it. The problem is, it's the media as well that get on board on the bandwagon, but it's also the A-League clubs going, oh, well, I want to just try and get a quick sell for this young kid to then proper up my coffers or whatever, or pay these older players the money that they want. That's the problem. Australian football's mentality needs to change and change immediately, because if Australia don't qualify for the World Cup, in the next 3 or 4 times that we are going to try and qualify, we're not even going to make it to the last round.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Because there are players who obviously received when they were young and have actually made something in their careers, notably Tom Rogic, who is the most notable one because he regularly playing for Celtic for seasons now.
Yeah.
But to another extent, Riley McCree, although he wasn't as young when he left Australia, but also now, you know, he's an FA Cup quarter finalist now, isn't he, Riley McCree? Like, and he has been playing here and there for Middlesbrough, and prior to that, he was playing regularly for Birmingham. So, like, and also, as I said, Aaron Moy, obviously, he went to Scotland, went to St Mirren, didn't really do much there, came back to Wanderers, pretty shithouse for Wanderers, went to Melbourne City, was pretty good for Melbourne City, and then went back.
And now he's re-signed with Melbourne City.
Oh, wait, has he?
Yes.
Oh, my God. But this is what I'm saying. Like, Tom Rogic is another example, right? He's a very good player in Scotland. Yeah. He's one of Celtic's better players easily. But when he plays for Australia, you don't really see that level, do you? Like, for this Sydney Super Cup, when he comes back to Australia to play for Celtic, obviously, he's going to look amazing. I reckon he's going to make us and you, like, our midfields look so second best. He's going to dominate that game for Celtic in Australia. And the Australian fans are just going to sit there pondering, well, why can't he play this fucking good for us when we play international football?
Because I'll tell you the difference, because he's got quality around him when he plays for Celtic. That's true,
yeah.
When he plays for the Socceroos, it's like, oh, I've got McLaren in front of me. What the fuck do I do?
Starting option is a big issue. And I think Australia really bought it on themselves. Like, playing Cahill to do is like a fucking dinosaur and relying on goals until he retired and not in that time, in that period when Cahill was 35 plus but still playing, that's when they should have started bringing through McLaren or someone else who could have done the job, but instead they didn't, because they tried him out for a couple of games. Like, no, they're not good enough. We'll just bring Cahill back in. He's good enough for us because he still scores crucial goals for us. We don't need to nurture anyone else. They'll just fill the void without practice. So they missed the opportunity to bring up strikers alongside Cahill and instead just relied on him until he retired. And then he retired, obviously. And then
they didn't have anyone.
Now what do we do?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Chester, welcome to the train.
We'll try someone who's not even Australian and see how he goes. I mean, yeah, a couple of goals for you, Martin Boyle, but ultimately he's not playing anymore, is he? Like, McLaren, you know, everyone thought he was going to be the thing. I mean, I was even saying they should play him more because of how good he's been in the A-League over the last few seasons. But again, for Australia, he just doesn't. Again, it comes down to what you said, though, George, the lack of quality. And it's funny to say that the lack of quality around him at Melbourne City is actually better than the quality around him in Australia right now, for the Australian team.
It's sad,
I mean, I league teams are currently better than the Australian national team. Like,
maybe we should put Melbourne City playing again.
But I mean, that's the thing. Where else do Australia go? I don't think Australia has any options up front right now. You got McLaren as your best option. Gianu
can't even get a game with MacArthur because he's coming back from injury.
I mean, Tommy Juric again.
You had Tommy Juric as well. The problem is when Tommy Juric was young, like before he came to Wanderers, when he was with Adelaide, everyone was like, oh, he'll be the next Mark Viduka. He'll be the next Mark Viduka. I'm like, bro, he won't be because there was only one Mark Viduka. You can't then say, oh, we're going to replicate someone if they don't have that same passion, desire. And
I don't like when people compare other players to this.
Exactly. That's what pisses me off.
People saying, oh, a Haaland is going to be the next Ronaldo and Messi. No, they're going to be the Haaland and Mbappe is what they're going to be. They're not going to be the next anyone. They're not going to model their careers over Ronaldo and Messi. They can model their careers over themselves. Like,
exactly right.
Like, I get for media stories and news articles when they go, oh, so-and-so's linked with this, who's been dubbed as the next, but don't just commit to it and just say their whole fucking career. Because I don't think Haaland or Mbappe or any other player who's compared to another bigger player or more successful at that point wants to go through their career being, instead of when they go to award ceremonies, being like, oh, we're here speaking to the next Ronaldo. He wants to hear we're here speaking to Erling Haaland.
Maka Rojas, the Kiwi Messi.
Oh my God.
It's like,
Kiwi
Messi. He's got the attitude of Messi, I'll give you that. The fucking attitude of Messi,
or like Mo Salah, like the Egyptian Messi,
seriously, like, you know, there's more great players than Messi and Ronaldo. Come on, it's like everyone's
seen that, but like, yeah, Matt Simon, actually, what am I on about? But you know, Lewandowski's frequently been dubbed the next Matt Simon,
just stands there like a Greek statue and does nothing.
Hey, don't diss Matt Simon. You never had him at your club, so you never understand how important he is. He genuinely is like a legend for us when he plays for us.
All right, guys. Quickly, just to end the podcast, who do you think will win on Saturday without being biased? Sydney?
Get this straight down. We're doing a podcast with FC fans and a Wanderers fan, and you're saying, who do you think will win on Saturday without being biased?
Just with the players.
I love this. You're asking Wanderers fan. Wanderers fan.
Okay, all
right. Biased over the derby.
Now, like, from a neutral point of view, if you didn't support either side.
If you're going to go neutral, you should have asked John to be on here.
Huh? No, he's not neutral. What are you on about? He supports us, probably.
George, do you think Wanderers will beat Sydney on Saturday?
I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
You know what? I think we'll lose. I've got a bad feeling.
I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think we're going to lose. I really don't think we will. I think
we just want your prediction. You
don't forget that. I think Narsing's going to be ready for this game, isn't he?
Yeah.
I hope so, at least. I think, you know, I mean, what I hate is Wanderers can be complete shithouse like they are right now, but they'll always turn up against us.
They always step up against us.
Jack Rodwell back.
Always step up.
I know I'm trying not to be biased. I think it's going to be one of those games, you know, where we recently, what we've seen, you know, I reckon, where we dominate, like we have been, like we dominated City, for fuck's sake. Like, we're passing around. Like, I think we completed over 500 passes in that game against City, which is insane. Like, so I think we're definitely going to dominate. I think George as well expects us to be the team who's going to dominate with the ball, because it's just how we play. Like,
I disagree with that.
I think it's just going to be another one of those games where we end up getting frustrated because we're not taking chances. But I think we might, just because it's a derby, I think we'll get it done this time. I think just because it's a derby, our players will be like, at some point, if we haven't scored, one of our players will be like, you know, fuck it. We have to win this game. We can't be good again in a game and not win. We have to fucking win and take a chance and it'll probably win. I don't know. I think something tells me we are going to win. I think it'll be close. But I think, Dan dropped out.
Yeah, but
it's Chester and George's podcast now.
There you go. That's it. Just go all night. Nah, but like,
welcome to the new edition of Wise Words with Dan. Wise Words without Dan.
It's Wise Words with Chester and
it's
George.
It's your all new 24/7 podcast.
They're like, what is it? Talking Sport in the UK?
Talk Sport,
yeah. You got like, I love Twitter when they show the videos and that. It's like ranty about all the Premier League clubs and all that shit. Like, classic. Yeah. Anyway.
Good old talk. Wait, no, hold on. I'm waiting for Dan to come back in so we can actually end it.
Oh, come on, Dan.
I should message him. I was like,
it's so funny. He's the one that hosts it, yet we're the one still like.
Should get callers in. Start a segment.
Hey guys, I'm back. Sorry I did cut out towards the end of that podcast, but hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. More to come later throughout the week. This weekend I'll be uploading another podcast. But guys, hope you enjoyed today's podcast. It was, as I said, we talked a lot about international football, about the upcoming A-League with the Sydney Derby. So we covered football. So if you are a huge football fan, you will enjoy today's podcast. But guys, you know, as I said, I am trying to add a variety of different topics to my podcast now. That does cover a lot of different things. So, yeah, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Please make sure to follow me, Wise Words with Stan, on Instagram and Facebook. Please tell your friends about us. You know, my podcast is slowly growing. So, guys, you know, I do appreciate your ongoing support. So, guys, hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. Keep safe, especially you Queenslanders, you know, stay dry. Sydney as well, with the upcoming floods. Everyone stay dry, you know, keep safe. And yeah, till next time. Ciao.